Morning. We continue through the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. If you want to follow along in your Bible, we'll be in chapter 10. Of course, the scriptures will be projected upon the screen, as always. Very excited to have Grayson here this summer working with us starting in June on Sunday evenings. He'll be preaching here for us and then working with Scotty at the Yellow House and doing assorted other things. I want to correct something. I think the last name is Pearshell, right? So we got to make sure we get the pronunciation right. Pearshell, Grayson Pearshell. And do I see, Monique, he is from Baton Rouge, so you want to get to know this guy, okay? He's all the way over here, but you want to connect with him. Okay, so I want to remind you that if you'd like to meet with the elders for prayer, a couple of the elders and their wives will be in the conference room out the back door and to the left, and you can meet with them at the end of the lesson this morning. Let's go to God in prayer as we think about this lesson this morning. Father, we are thankful for your word, and it touches each one of us at different times and different places, depending on the situation in our lives. But we've come now to hear it preached, and to hear it touch our ears and our hearts and our lives, and just ask that you would help us to be attentive to your word as it is preached and as we hear the word read. Bless the preaching and the hearing of your word this morning. It's through your son we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm just curious. How many of you are afraid of spiders? Okay, so are you afraid like this kind of afraid? And do you take these kinds of actions maybe? Right? Maybe you're afraid of spiders, but hopefully you don't resort to the one fellow who was at the gas station filling up. I don't know if you saw this on the news, filling up, and there was a spider right where you put the nozzle in there. So he decided that he would kill this spider using a lighter. And you can imagine it didn't go very well. Robert Mitchum, in one of the old Robert Mitchum movies, one of the characters in that movie just quipped, "Life is tough, and it's even tougher when you're stupid." Well, that might actually sum up Ecclesiastes chapter 10 as we look at that this morning. Colette waxes cynical in this chapter. He's kind of all over the place when he does it, but he waxes cynical about life. We live in a world where stuff just happens. So he says this, "Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them." Stuff happens. You can follow all the OSHA requirements that you want. Stuff still happens. In 2007, a man by the name of Humberto Hernandez was walking down the street in Oakland, California, and a car happened to hit a fire hydrant and dislodged it just enough where the pressure of the water threw the hydrant off and it hit Mr. Hernandez and killed him. Even more bizarre than that is in 1979 at a football game, National Football League, Shea Stadium in New York, the halftime show is they brought in all these guys to fly these remote control airplanes, and one of these planes, I kid you not, one of these planes was made to look like a lawnmower. And he flew that thing around inside the stadium, lost control of it. It flew off into the stands and hit a fellow by the name of John Bowen and killed him. Stuff happens all the time. And Colette says, to compound all of that, to compound the fact that you have stuff just happening out there and people being injured or killed by all these freak things that happen, the world is just full of fools. So he says this in chapter 10, verse 1. He says, "As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor." Stuff happens, it's being compounded by fools, and you can never tell, and you can never underestimate, he says, the power that fools have. You've got this whole vat of perfume, and it smells really good. You get one fly in, and it just destroys the whole thing. Or sort of a modern equivalent of that is, one bad apple does spoil the whole bunch. So if it's not bad enough that stuff is happening, these freak accidents are happening, and people are being injured or being killed, if it's not bad enough that you have fools around every corner in the world, what you also have is inmates running the asylum. He says, fools are put in many high positions. While the rich occupy the low ones, I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. So it's not bad enough that stuff happens. It's not bad enough that there's fools around every corner, but there's fools put in charge. They're in high positions. And a lot of people in the United States seem to feel like that's the way. And so you see this kind of upheaval that we're experiencing now. The inmates are running the asylum. So people say, hey, we need different inmates. And the future may tell us whether those inmates are just as foolish as the ones you think we have now. But if we have fools running the asylum, really there's nobody to blame but us, right? Because we elected them. But can you imagine? Can you imagine living in a world where you had no say in what went on in the government and the people in charge are fools and you're just going to have to deal with it? Right? So some person who has risen to the top because of nepotism and now they're in charge and they're just worthless human beings. One of the greatest examples of this in the Roman Empire was the Emperor Caligula. Caligula, just to give you an idea, Caligula had a floating bridge made across a bay about 2 miles long. For what purpose, you ask? So he could ride his horse back and forth on it. Really interesting character, Caligula. The History Channel wrote this about him. He worked to accentuate his natural ugliness by practicing terrifying facial expressions in a mirror. But he literally wallowed in luxury, allegedly rolling around in piles of money and drinking precious pearls dissolved in vinegar. He continued his childhood games of dressing up, donning strange clothing, women's shoes, and lavish accessories and wigs. And so Colette continues on. Woe to the land whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. You have these kings, these leaders, partying all the time, getting drunk in the morning, not carrying out the business of the kingdom. And their answer, Colette goes on to say, their answer to everything is money. If we just throw more money at it, then somehow it's always going to be better. So what Colette is telling us is the world is topsy-turvy. You have these freak accidents happen. You have fools around every corner. And sometimes they're in charge of things out there. And what are we going to do about it? Colette says, I'm not necessarily going to tell you what to do about it at first. I'm going to tell you what not to do about it. And what you don't do about it is make things worse by being just as foolish as those foolish people who are in charge. Or don't be stupid. Now, stupid, of course, is a little bit of a harsh word, isn't it? I've used that word in sermons before, and kids go back with their parents and they say, did you hear the preacher this morning? He said, S-T-U-P-I-D. They spell it out like it's some kind of a cuss word, right? It's a harsh word. The kids are right. Parents have taught them. It's a harsh word. The Bible has an equally harsh word. It is fool. In fact, if you want to know how bad this word is, all you have to do is listen to Jesus. Jesus says, but I tell you, that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. And that's a pretty big put down to call somebody a fool. Stupid may actually not even be strong enough for that. Because a fool, when you say you're calling someone a fool, that's really sort of a character flaw in them. Foolish people are people that only think about right now. Foolish people are people that only think about themselves. And foolish people are people who don't think about the consequences. And so Scripture tells us, whatever you're going to do, avoid fools at all costs. The book of Proverbs, better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly. Mama, whose cubs have been taken away? Fool. Mama, fool. I think I'll take the mama, right? This is what Proverbs is telling us. You want to avoid the fool at all cost. So the one thing you don't want to do is be foolish, because life is tough and it's even tougher when you're stupid. So what Colette then does is he gives us some ways, just a few ways that we can avoid being stupid. It's like a defensive driving class for the roads of life. You have all kinds of freak accidents out there. You have all kinds of uninsured and stupid drivers on the road of life. So you've got to figure out ways to avoid all those guys and not replicate what they are doing already. If you want the advanced class on how to do this, well, then you would go read the book of Proverbs. So here's some simple ways to not make life tougher. Number one, he says, try not to be as foolish as the person who's in charge of you. So we read this. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. So you've been reprimanded by your boss. He's angry with you. You've been reprimanded by your boss for something you didn't even do. You were innocent on all of this. And so how are you going to respond to this? I know what I'll do. I'll walk off the job. That'll be good. That'll make him really happy, right? Okay, let's just think this through a little bit. If you don't want life to be tougher, don't be stupid. Second one, he says, plan ahead. If a snake bites before it is charmed, the charmer receives no fee. Hey, I've got this new business. I'm playing my flute, and I'm charming the snake. And so I play the flute, and the snake comes out, and it bites me because I didn't actually train the snake ahead of time, and now I'm in trouble. Sounds stupid? How about this one? I'm bored with high school. I think I'll just quit high school, but I want you to hire me anyway and pay me lots of money. Kind of equally stupid, right? So plan ahead. Or maybe, ladies, there's this guy that you work with, and he's been really nice and sweet to you lately, and maybe your husband not so much, and this guy walks by and he pats you on the back, maybe rubs your shoulders a little bit, and now he's invited you out to coffee. Think about this. Where do you think this is going? Plan ahead. Third one, Colette says, try listening more and talking less. Words from the mouth of the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. At the beginning, their words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness, and fools multiply words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell someone else what will happen after them? The toil of fools wearies them. They do not know the way to town. I mean, that's just the greatest, right? How do you get to Nacogdoches? I don't know. But you live there. I know, but I don't know. A fool doesn't even know the way to town. So be careful how you talk. Be careful of the things you say, Colette says, because oftentimes people have to end up eating their words. A number of years ago, a fellow by the name of Matt Hasselbeck was playing quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. And they played to a tie at the end of the game, so they went out and flipped the coin at the end of the game, decide who would get the ball, and he won the coin toss. And the referee said, "What do you want to do?" And he said, "We'll take the ball, and we're going to score." And sure enough, they got the ball, and the first play, he threw a pass to the other team, and they went down and scored. Sometimes you need to be careful about the things that you say. Or do you know this guy right here? Probably not. His name is Dana Milbank. He writes for the Washington Post. And last fall, he said, "If Donald Trump becomes the Republican nominee, I will eat my words." And so here, his article has been cut up and mixed with this food, and he's doing just that. Be careful. Colette says, if you don't want to be stupid, be careful what you say. Words have this way of getting around. You know how you just told one person that you really trust how terrible, what an ugly, terrible person your boss is. And that person swore they wouldn't tell, but they went and told two people who swore they wouldn't tell. And somehow it has gotten back to your boss. Colette reminds us, do not revile the king even in your thoughts or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird in the sky may carry your words and a bird on the wing may report what you say. If you don't want to make life tougher on yourself, keep your mouth shut. And number four, he says, listen, if you don't want to make life tougher on yourself, try not to be lazy, okay? Through laziness, the rafters sag. Because of idle hands, the house leaks. Why is my roof leaking? Is it because the man is keeping me down? Or is it because the illegal aliens are coming into our country and taking all of our jobs? Or is it possible because these corrupt multinational corporations have addicted me to video games and I can't stop playing them to fix my roof? Colette says, hey, how about this? Look in the mirror. You're the guy sitting in the house and not doing anything. So here's an idea, Colette says. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. How about we get out there and do a little bit of work? Well, chapter 10 is, again, getting us some practical sort of things. When we think about this book, We know that this book has a lot to say about life after death. We talked about that last week. There is this hope that comes because of Jesus Christ. Death is not a wall. Death is a door that we go through because of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, and we too will be raised. So this book has a lot to say about life after death, but it also has a lot to say about life before death and what can happen for us, how we will survive through the happenstances of life, how we will survive the fools of life, how we will survive the evil that goes on, how we will survive all of the chance. And it can only be helpful for us, though, if we will do two things. The first is, listen. Listen. I mean, are you listening to the Word of God on your own? Scripture claims to have the power of God's Spirit, like the sword, to penetrate to our hearts, to shape and transform us. Listen. Listen to the preaching of the Word. I guarantee you there's folks that come in here Sunday after Sunday, and what they hear is Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 right? What did I just say? Wah, 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 right? But what if I stood up here and said, I've got three quick lessons on how you can make $1 million this week. All of a sudden, we're all ears, right? This Word of God can penetrate into our lives and change our lives. So the first thing we need to do is listen. The second thing we need to do is do it. Do it. We sing a song with kids all the time, right? The wise man built his house on a rock, right? A rock. And the foolish man did what? He built his house on the sand. Now, what is it that makes this guy foolish? Take you to Jesus' words again. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on a sand. We listen, we didn't do. So if Scripture, all the things it wants to say to us, not just about life after death, but life before death, Scripture is going to have effect upon us if we're going to listen, but also if we are going to do. God wants to take care of us in the future. He wants to take care of us in the life after death, but He also wants to look after us in the life before death. He's trying to care for us now. But we must listen, and we must do. Let's stand and sing.